Loudon Wainwright III, the son of esteemed Life magazine columnist Loudon Wainwright Jr., is the patriarch of one of America's great musical families. With a career spanning more than four decades, Wainwright has established himself as one of the most enduring singer-songwriters who emerged from the late 1960s. There is probably no singer-songwriter who has so blatantly inserted himself into his songs. The songs can be laugh-out-loud funny, but they can also cut to the bone. In his new memoir, Liner Notes, on Parents and Children, Exes and Excess, Death and Decay, and a few of my other favorite things, Wainwright details the family history his lyrics have referenced and the fractured relationships among generations, the alcoholism, the infidelities, the competitiveness, as well as the closeness, the success, and the joy. It is a great pleasure and joyful to welcome Loudon Wainwright III to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Good to be with you, Joe.
Thank you very much for being here. At what point did you say, okay, maybe now's the time to write my story and tell people about what I've been through?
Well, a guy at Random House, the publishing company, a guy called Peter Gethers, who's my editor over there, has been a fan of mine for some years, and he just told me that I had a book in me. He felt like I had a book in me. It sounded like a medical diagnosis. But and then they gave me a little bit of money, and I sat down about 3 years ago and started working on Liner Notes, and sure enough, it came out 2 days ago. It's been a real interesting thing to chronicle what's been going on in my life from the very beginning, you know, my parents and my childhood, and then years in college, and then my job of being a traveling performer and songwriter, and all the people in my life, my kids and siblings and grandchildren and ex-wives. I mean, everybody's in it.
Let's talk about the job aspect first. At what point did you know that job was for you?
Well, I can remember exactly what happened. I was about 7 years old, and I was my mother, whose name was Martha Taylor, her twin sister, Mary. Mary and Martha were in Mary's Kitchen in Santa Ana, California, and this would have been about 1953, and I sang them a cappella a folk song called Rosin the Bow, which I'd learned at camp or in school, and I just performed it for them, and they both shined down on me all this love and affection and oohing and aahing, and that's when I kind of knew that I wanted to be a performer and not a cowboy or an astronaut.
How did your parents, you write a lot in this book about being a son, how did your parents respond to that line of work?
Well, you know, my dad was a writer, and so he was a creative guy, so I think he was totally on board with the idea of me being a songwriter. You know, your parents worry that you're going to make a living at whatever job is that you wind up doing. So they were relieved when I got a record deal in 1969 and actually got a music publishing deal. So I actually had a bit of money in the bank. But my parents were supportive of that, my pursuit.
You include some of your father's columns in the book.
I do. My dad was a great, elegant writer. His column was called The View from Here, and I just felt like I wanted to turn my readers and audience on to this guy who was such a huge figure in my own life. So, yeah, there are a couple of complete columns, and then there are some selections from other columns, but I think it's a nice aspect of my book.
They're lovely and also very relevant. They hold up well.
Yeah. Yeah. When he wrote about, you know, he wrote when he was active in writing his column in the 60s and 70s, that would be the 1960s and 70s, he wrote about politics and current events, but he also wrote about his personal life. And I think those particular columns hold up nicely because it's about the family or the family dog or when the house had to burn down or seeing his grandmother, seeing my grandmother, his mother in a nursing home. So all of that stuff I think is great, and I decided that I wanted to have selections of that stuff in the book.
It also shows the similarities between the two of you, because you also use your family and your relationships in your songs, in your writing.
I do. I mean, it's one of my, if not the, I think it's the most important topic I have, writing about my family, the kids, the siblings, the parents, and the grandparents. They're all in the songs, and they're in the book. So I'm a family guy.
The idea of seeing the lyrics, which you also include, many of the lyrics are in the book, and it does bring that connection between the songs and real life. Did that come in writing about it, did that come very naturally, or did you learn things in that process of seeing things that you'd written and in putting it into a context perhaps you had not seen before?
Yeah, I mean, it's territory that I've mined, you know, as I just said, the family. But so there wasn't anything startlingly new about it. But have to, you know, I've been writing these songs, but I never really sat down and tried to put it down in sentences, you know, in paragraphs, in chapters. So that was a bit of a challenge. But it was territory. It was waterfront, if you will. That I had already covered. You know, I knew my subject.
When you talk about family, and of course being a musical family, and also in relationship to how your father influenced you in his writing that you talk about in the book, how do you think you've influenced your children and their musical lives?
Well, I've got four kids. Three of them are musicians. That's Rufus Wainwright and Martha Wainwright, whose mom was a musician, Kate McGarrigle, of Kate and Anna McGarrigle. And then my daughter Lucy Wainwright Roach, her mom is Suzzy Roach from the Roaches.
Right.
So in the case of my three kids that are musicians, you know, the deck was genetically stacked, I suppose, since both parents were singers and performers. And my youngest daughter is called Alexandra Kelly, and she's still, you know, working on what she's going to do. But she's a pretty good performer, so you never know. Her mom is an actress. So again, I think the mothers have a lot to do with all of this, obviously.
As you say, it's all in here. The X's are in here. X's and excess, as the subtitle tells us. Was any of this difficult to write about?
Well, I had to be careful. I mean, I didn't want the book to be some kind of a slash and burn, tell-all, gory detail thing. But I talk about tricky stuff, you know, broken marriages and my own bad habits that I got into, you know. Those would include excessive drinking and philandering. You know, I slept with people I shouldn't have been sleeping with, I guess you could say. And that of course, is a damaging lifestyle. It's not an uncommon lifestyle for people in general and for performers in particular. I certainly fell prey to that, but I felt like I had to write about it in the book. I had written about it in the songs, hopefully I didn't hurt anybody's feelings too much.
And above all, it's also, like much of your work, it's very witty and fun.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. I mean, as you said in the introduction, I insert myself in my songs and in my book. I that kind of sounds painful. It's like getting into a small Italian automobile.
Yeah, the insertion, if you will.
Yes.
But putting it all down, you have to be looking back. What are you proudest of? What are you putting your mark on? On music and of the time and of the era, what are you proudest of?
Well, in terms of the work, I mean, I think I've written some pretty good songs, and like to think that I'm continuing on that path. You know, I won a Grammy in 2010, which was very exciting to do. I write about that in a chapter called The Grammy Chronicles. I'd been nominated a few times, but hadn't won until 2010. The last chapter in the book is called The 75 to 90, which means that pertains to the 75 to 90 minutes that my show lasts when I do my show, my music show.
Yeah.
And it's given the pride of place as being the last chapter in the book, because that's the most important thing that I do. When I go out in a club or on a concert stage or at a folk festival or wherever, when I'm at the Egg in Albany, you know, my job is to go out there and have an effect on a group of people sitting there who've paid money for it. And that's the thing that I think I'm the most, if I can use the word, proud of. You know, I consider myself to be a good performer and entertainer, and I think that's a beautiful thing.
The name of the book is Liner Notes on Parents and Children, Excess and Exes, Death and Decay, and a few of my other favorite things. The book is published by Blue Rider Press. Loudon Wainwright, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Great talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The name again of the book is Liner Notes. Loudon Wainwright III is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.